One first thing I'm going to tell you about is my family. This was us like a month ago. My husband on the left, he works at Child and Family Services. He's an assistant there, and he's on his way to becoming a social worker. And then my daughter is Isabel, and she's 5. She's in Kirkcaldy Heights School, and Sterling is 3, and he's upstairs and in preschool 2 days of the week. And then Silas is 10 months old. And then myself, I am a teacher, and I've been a teacher since 2010, but really I've only taught 6 years because of babies. And right now I'm like halfway through an 18-month mat leave, which has been amazing. I never thought I would be one to take up that up because it just seems like so long, but it's wonderful to be home with my kiddos. So the first thing I'm going to tell you about is that the word grateful is G-R-A-T-E-F-U-L. The word G-R-E-A-T-F-U-L actually is not a word. So that is your grammar lesson of the day. Did you know thankfulness and gratefulness are actually slightly different? Thankfulness is actually an expression of gratitude and relief. So it's fully just verbal words. And gratitude is going that step further. And I did a little bit of research because I was like, I don't know. One more slide. I don't know if I'm doing it right. Do I have to verbally say, okay, I'm going to show gratitude right now instead of just like saying thank you so much for whatever? It kind of made me feel a little bit nervous having to go that extra step and feeling like maybe I wasn't ever actually grateful going beyond the words thankful. So this one says, expressing gratitude and relief is thankfulness. It's famed within the verbal expression of gratitude or appreciation. It's only an expression of gratitude. It does not actually involve an action. But when you move over to grateful, it's a feeling or a showing of appreciation for something done or received. It goes beyond the verbal expression. It involves an action. So let's go to the next slide. There's actually super, super easy to get someone to show, for you to show gratitude to someone. So it's journaling your thankfulness and your blessings, or writing someone a thank you letter, an encouragement letter, a love letter, or a thinking of you letter. Actively listening. I didn't realize this is a form, an act of gratitude, is fully listening to someone speaking to you instead of thinking of your response. And that is gratitude. Giving out compliments, giving a hug. So I showed a couple of pieces of gratitude to my children this morning, and they didn't even know it. Just be there for someone. Bring them food. Tipping well at a restaurant. Paying it forward at a drive-thru. Paying for the person next behind you. Volunteering. Saying you're sorry. That one was a good one for me to realize that that is a true act of gratitude towards another person. Sharing your talents, performing a random act of kindness, helping a stranger in need, and smiling. And now, what else do you think you can show gratitude to other people? Clean someone's car, pull them out of the ditch. Wiping snow off of spouse's car. Did you know it takes 7 seconds for people to actually think of an answer? So that's why I'm standing up here, because I know you have more answers than this. There was actually 34 in this list. So, food, absolutely. Finger foods, the best. Flowers to someone, a card. Well, it's going beyond just saying, like, I see that you're right. And to go beyond saying just thank you for expressing your feelings towards me, I realize I have made a mistake. And it's going beyond just, it's creating a feeling in yourself towards another person that will also elicit their feelings of feeling glad that they also shared with you. Yeah, I think it strengthens the connection. I think gratitude is one of those things that once you've expressed it to someone else, through even verbally or your actions, it strengthens that love and the bond through other people. And actually, the amazing part is I was doing quite a bit of research on this, and it creates true physical of benefits in your life. So practicing gratitude makes us obviously feel gratitude, but it carries us through so many ups and downs and emotions. So there is, obviously you've heard of practicing gratitude in a journal, and it can actually make you so much happier. It, even though during those 5 minutes, it's kind of minuscule, this gratitude that you're feeling, but the emotions of gratitude trigger a grateful mood. So as you're going through those tiny little exercises of writing down your gratitude, in the long run, through those days, it will continually elicit a more grateful feeling of gratitude. So when we do feel gratitude, it will be more intense and held for longer when we feel gratitude for more things at the same time. And it's actually called hedonic adaptation. So that's a gratitude that triggers positive feedback loops. So at this point, I would say the word hedonic adaptation, and my 10-year-old students would be like, Mrs. Hay knows so much. She's a very smart person. She knows all the things. But I totally looked up this word. It's after repeated exposure to the same emotion-producing stimulus, we tend to experience less of the emotion. So if you are always riding an extreme high and you're, say, for example, your vehicle always works, always, it will be less feeling of a gratitude towards that vehicle that always works just because it just always does. It's always there for you. It never breaks down. It has great tires. Your husband does all the things, and it just continually works. That's how I feel about my 2009 very old, wonderful van that we spent $2,500 on, and it cost $7. It is worth about $7 when we bought it. And after that feeling of like, wow, we got a great deal, and this thing still works, and we bought it during my pregnancy with Sterling, and it still runs beautifully. Even though it's old, it runs so well. So there are lots and lots of times, and most of the year, I don't feel anything towards my van. But now that I think about it, and every once in a while, there will be a day or two where I can't use it, I'm feeling super grateful for it when I finally get to use that vehicle again. So when we have something in our lives that is absolutely amazing, most of the time, or almost all of the time, it starts to make us numb towards how grateful we can be for that thing. Hedonic adaptation gives unparalleled resiliency and keeps us motivated to achieve even greater things. But it can also kill our marriages. We get used to an amazing spouse. We get used to kids who listen. We get used to our awesome jobs that pay us money so we can buy wonderful things for our family. We get used to our awesome houses or our vehicles that run, and we stop seeing the positive and start complaining about the thing that isn't so great about those things. Because we live here on earth, there's going to be something that's not so great about all of those things. It's a psychological imperative to find the hedonic adaptation if we want to maximize happiness. So gratitude is one of the most powerful tools that we can use that is always can be in our hearts and our minds. And we don't even need a piece of paper to do this. Let's go to the next one. So these are a vast array of all the things that we can be thankful for, or the benefits of gratitude in our life emotionally, feeling more good, more relaxed, more resilient, less envious, happier moments. In our social lives, we can be more social, healthier marriages, kinder, more friendships, deeper relationships. In our career, we could have better management, improved networking, goal achievement, improved decision-making, increased productivity. In our health, we could have improved sleep, less sickness, longevity, increased energy to run after toddlers or to drive around teenagers, and more exercise. It actually elicits a feeling of, I feel like exercising today. It'll give you 40 minutes if you want it, 40 minutes of boost of energy each day to, if you feel like it, exercise past running past a toddler. In your personality, you could become less materialistic, less self-centered, more optimistic, increased self-esteem, and more spiritual. I did not read one negative benefit or one negativity part of being grateful. This is only something that will give you great joy or bring you joy. One more slide. These are like literal physical things that will happen in your body. You're going to have 16% fewer physical symptoms, 19% more time spent exercising, 10% less physical pain, 8% more sleep, and 25% increased sleep quality. And there's some other couple of things that it also lowers your blood pressure and lowers signs of depression. And I had this past summer, I struggled with postpartum depression, and all I saw was the sad things and the hard things and the no sleeping and the being woken up at night or all the crying or the bickering. But I still have all of those things, but it just feels different because they are now moments in my day instead of having my day be full of just those moments. And so if we look past the hard things in our life, not past them, we look around at the things in our life that are making us happy, and the hard things will still be there, but there will always be things in and around that we can be grateful for. God is amazing. He wants to show us all the wonderful things that are around us that we can be grateful for, and he wants us to thank him for them. And by thanking him, he is going to give us peace and joy. And there are so many verses. Let's go to the first one. One more. So Colossians 3:15. That one is, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you will live in peace and always be thankful. Next one. Colossians 2:6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow deep down into him, and let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in what you are taught, and you will overflow with kindness. Hebrews 12:28. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. And I was floored by all the encouragement that accompanied each verse that was full of thankfulness. They all talk about thanking God, and they all talk about peace, the peace that God will give you, and it lists its faith being grown down deep into God and in the truth. And it will pour forth praise to him out of our mouths just by being thankful. The next one is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ, Christ Jesus. So I liked how Amanda was asking us to ask for crazy things, and Tina was encouraging us to pray. Always be joyful. Asking for the crazy, which sometimes feels super exciting, so there's that verse. Never stop praying. There's that part of it. And then be thankful in every situation that you are in, all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. And I just kind of, there are times where I look around and I'm like, wow, this mothering stuff is really hard, and I really love teaching, so I would like to go back to that. So I'm wiping a lot of snot right now. We've all three snotties, and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Amanda talked about that. Like, is this really, this is a lot of bodily fluids that I'm going through right now. Do I really, is this God's will for my life? Like, babies are great, and they keep the species going, and I love my children, but and then I go, but I'm thankful, and that is the only thing that I need to be doing to be in God's will for my life, is to be thankful. Even though they're fighting, even though they're waking up, even though they are driving, Marina, I couldn't believe, my next door neighbor is also driving, and I'm glad we're not there. It's scary, but you have a vehicle to drive. I have a kitchen that is red, and then our living room is yellow, and it's not my preferred colors, but I walk through those and I go, I don't really like these colors, but I love my house. I love my house. The next verse is when I was pregnant with Sterling. I put these on my wall, just printed out from the computer to my wall with tape beside my rocking chair. And so they were up for 2 years, and then I, for some reason, decided to want to wash my walls. And so they came down, and the walls are still unwashed. But so don't want to wash your walls. Do it and then put back your stuff. But anyway, so this was always on my wall because you'd glance over, I'd be breastfeeding or what have you, and they were there. Philippians 4:4-7, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. That's easy. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. Don't worry about anything, ladies. It just feels like one of those, anything, it covers every single aspect of our lives, and it feels like so huge to say, you've got da-da-da happening in your life, but don't worry about it. Like, it'll work out. No, it doesn't say it'll work out fine. Not even once. It'll work out fine. Everything will be fine. No, it says he will give you peace. That's what comes about not worrying about anything and praying about everything. It doesn't say that God will give you all the things. It says he will give you peace. And peace leads to joy. And joy comes from being grateful. The devil wants to steal your joy away from you and without your peace. He does that by showing you the list of things that aren't going right. When we dwell on the sadness, the things that are going wrong, our wall colors, difficulties with our children, our hardships with our husbands, our lack of money, or fill in the blank. When we dwell on those things, that's when our joy has been taken. But there's so many things we can thank God for in every situation. And once we begin seeing them and thanking God for them, then God can cover us in peace, and God's peace leads to joy. And it may be hard to give thanks, but in all things, God works for good if we love him and are called according to his purpose, which is Romans 8:28. I think Tina said this, thank God not for your problems, but for the strength he's building in you through difficult experiences of your life. God's perfect love will see you through. There's one interesting passage that I came across. It's Psalm 136, and I'll get you to right there. So I'm going to read the first half, and you're going to read his faithful love. So, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, lords. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. This is four verses of 26, and in all these 26 verses, there are 12 that begin with give thanks. Now, I truly believe, since no one knows who wrote this psalm, that it was written by a parent. Because how many times do we have to say, what do you say, when someone gives our child something? Say thank you. Halloween night, I can't even count how many times. What do you say? Right? Okay, when we get to the door, you're going to say trick or treat, and then you're going to say thank you. So many times. So I feel like this was a parent. Give thanks. Give thanks. I said give thanks. Okay, again, give thanks. Okay, so that's what I feel like the psalm was saying. Please, don't forget to give thanks. And in this, it's not, the give thanks is actually not the whole meaning of this word, thank you, English. It basically means to confess or acknowledge, and therefore it calls us to thoughtful, grateful worship, spelling out what we know or have found of God's glory and his deeds. So this is not even about us, it's about God. And I love that. One story from my life about God's glory and his deeds is a story of our present house. When I was single, I bought my own house, and it was great, 820 square feet. It was perfect for a single person. And then I got married, and it was perfect. And then we had an 80-pound dog, and it was still okay. And then we had one child, and it was great. There's two bedrooms. And then I got pregnant with Sterling, and it got real small real quick. So I was pregnant, and December 2015, we started looking for a house, and January 6th, we found our house. It was awesome. It was beautiful. It's a bungalow, or it's a one where everything's on the same floor. There's a basement. There's a walkout on the bottom, and it just, we had written a list of all the things we'd like. We'd like a deck. We'd like so many square footage. We would like an attached garage, and we made a piece of paper with all these pictures, copy and pasted together, and that's the house. We found it before a month had gone by. So it had been on the market for 100 days. It's a bit of a fixer-upper, but totally livable, and there had been no offers in 100 days. So we put an offer on. They accepted. Within 3 days, two other offers had come in, higher than ours with no conditions. And our condition was obviously to sell our house first. So we had 48 hours to decide. oh, back and forth. How can we do this? We need to do this. We love this house. This is ours. And it just felt like ours. So we waived our conditions of selling our house, which is stupid. Our realtor literally came to our house with a piece of paper written out in printing, in his own printing. And without literally saying this, it said this. This is stupid to buy a house while you haven't yet sold yours. I advise you against it, but you didn't listen. Please sign here. He's like, my boss told me to write this out. And so we're like, okay, we will sign it. We signed it because he didn't want to be held responsible because nobody had ever been this stupid. But Ty told him, you watch. This house, our house right now, is going to sell very quickly. And so we had renovated our house January 15th and was on the market. And by January 25th, we had an offer with conditions that they would sell their mobile, which is smart. But by February 11th, our house was sold and their house was sold. And of course, one thing I forgot. Here's my gratitude journal that I'm waving. When I was teaching that year in grade 5-6, after lunch they would come in and they would have to write in a cut-in-half scribbler, and it was a gratitude journal. And we started it around Christmas time and we continued it for the rest of the year, and that was when we started looking for a house. And so if I had it here, I would show you and open it to you where it says, we bought a house, we still need to sell ours. And all these, thank you, Jesus, for helping us renovate. Thank you, Jesus, for getting it listed. Thank you, Jesus, for an offer on our house. Please pray, we pray that it'll be, theirs will be sold. And so all these thank yous, right in my gratitude journal at that time, sprinkled in with, I felt the baby move today, and all these wonderful things that I was thankful for. And that house sold. Our house sold, their house sold, and we had bought a house. So we moved in March 15th. I was 8.5 months pregnant and had our baby in our living room. It was wonderful. And we were all consuming with gratitude for that house. And we thanked God, and we had peace and very deep peace that that house had been shown to us by God. But if we had not been thankful, it still would have turned out for the good because we love God. But because we were thankful, we learned so much about God in that situation. It will turn out for the good of us who love him. And when we are thankful, we can learn so much about God. In Jesus' day, lepers were pretty shunned people. They weren't allowed to be in the vicinity of other people because leprosy is contagious and it's pretty gross. So there was one day where a group of 10 lepers stood quite a ways away from Jesus. Jesus, please, please, we really want to be healed, please, as they were shouting out to him because he was so far away. Before Jesus had even healed them, that he said, okay, we'll just go to the priest, because to be cleansed, you have to go to the priest, and the priest has to say, yeah, you're good, so you can enter society. I deem you worthy to be near other people. So before they had even had any of their leprosy taken away, Jesus said, okay, well, just go get cleansed by the priest. So they all went in faith, believing, and all 10 were healed. 9 of them likely went to their families to celebrate and have a great party. And you know the story. There is one who came back. And Jesus said, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up, your faith has healed you. So that one saw Jesus. He recognized his blessing and rejoiced in it, and it changed his course of action and behavior. And because he sees what has happened, the leper is not just healed, but he is made whole. He is restored, and he's drawn back into relationship with God and humanity. And only thankful people will grow in understanding God's grace. The other 9 had an amazing gift given to them, and they took it. They did have faith, and they were given a gift. And the one who came back was given even more understanding and more of God's relationship. And so he uses these opportunities to teach us more about himself. What is true stewardship, worship, and Christian living? It's the 10th leper coming back. For now as then, seeing makes all the difference. So I'd like to challenge you at home this week and for the rest of your lives. Throughout your day, say out loud what you're thankful for as it happens or as you see, whether it's specifically to God or just yourself, out loud. Quick and simple, peppered through your words and your thoughts. Thanksgiving comes once a year, but for us, let's make it a daily habit. We are going to break into small groups. And in these small groups, I would like you to, as you go there, to be thinking of a story you could share from your life that you are grateful for because it taught you about God's grace. Maybe not because everything worked out perfectly or just the way you thought it would, but because you were taught something about God's grace. It's a reminder that we thank, reminder that we thank God not for our problems, but for the strength he's building in you through the difficult experiences of your life. God's perfect love will see you through. So that's what you're going to think of as you go to your small groups. I'm also going to, I've sent each with Amanda and Charmaine, and I have one for my group as well. Just a sheet for your name and your email address so that if you feel led while sitting under a nursing baby or waiting for teenagers to come out of their things, you have an email address. I'm sure you could use Facebook Messenger as well, but to encourage each other. We are here, we love each other, and we can thank each other for friendships and encourage each other in those friendships.
Sorry, guys. The Lord's just been really putting this heart in my heart. I just wanted, because what you're speaking this morning, I just wanted to share. Many of you know my little girl, Elizabeth, got really sick. Sorry. Anyways, I just because you guys did so much praying for her when she was sick, I want to share what the Lord's done with me, and it goes right along with having joy and gratitude. And so when she was in Edmonton the first time in April, I just want to let you guys know what your prayers did for her. The Lord has, I'll maybe back up a little bit. 3 years before she was born, the Lord has told me that I would have a little girl and that I would name her Elizabeth. And I knew, my husband at the time did not want another child, and I knew it would be a miracle just to even have her. And so when I got pregnant, I knew right away she'd be a little girl, and I knew I would call her Elizabeth, and that's after my grandma and my middle name too. And actually it means oath from God, a gift from God, both her middle name and her first name did. And so when she was born, of course, I fell in love with her, and it was awesome. And when she got sick and went to Edmonton in April, I just knew, because God had shared with me that something was coming that would be very, very hard for me to go through. And he promised me that there would be, kind of a dream he gave me, and it was of a horse and rider, and it would fall down. And as it just about hit the rocks, this rider would be lifted back up to the top, would continue on its journey. And so as Elizabeth was really sick, the night in Winnipeg, I was like, Lord, I need to have some encouragement to know that she's going to make it through this. And instantly I recalled that dream he gave me quite a few years before. And so I was like, okay, we're going to do this. I can do this. So then I just began praying, and I know so many of you guys were all praying too. And, you know, as we were getting to Edmonton on the plane, she almost died. And I looked outside the window, and there was the most beautiful northern lights we've ever seen in my entire life. And I knew it was God warming my heart and saying, it's okay, she's going to be all right and pull through this at the time. And we got to Edmonton, and the doctors told me there's no way she's going to make it. She told my sister to prepare me. She's not going to make it. And it was a Friday night at 8 o'clock at night, and me and my sister just sat and prayed by her bed, and we just said, Lord, you promised me she would make it through at that time, and she would be okay. And so we just prayed and prayed, and we were playing, there was that song, Miracles. We were playing that a lot because we were believing that there would be a miracle happen. And she did. All of a sudden, she was sedated, fully asleep, and her arms lifted up, and they couldn't even believe why her arms were up, like, and she held them for like a minute up in the air. And within a few hours, the doctors were stunned. She was getting off medicines. She wasn't having more added on. She was coming off pumps. She was, by the next morning, she was getting to the point where they were going to be waking her up. She was no longer catheter in. They couldn't even believe the difference in only a few hours overnight, the change in her. And they said they didn't understand why she was responding all of a sudden so dramatically. And I knew that was my miracle, that I had been promised that she would pull through then. And, you know, it was prayers and faith and believing that God was going to do what he says he's going to do. And I was so excited that moment, and we got to come home and spend a lot more months with her that I wouldn't have had. I mean, ultimately, she did go to heaven, but at that time, that was my miracle I was promised, and she got to have some wonderful time with our family. And I also want, and she also got to tell a big journey to everybody else, because I know a lot of people were affected by her. I just want to let you know something, too. When I got home from Edmonton after she passed away, my daughter gave me my birthday present because I had my birthday just a few days before Elizabeth died. And she'd made me this cross out of wood. And on it, she printed the word joy and little candy canes beside it for Christmas, because I miss Christmas and that too. But I was like, wow, joy. Don't really feel joy right now, you know? I was really sad at the time. And I was thinking about that because I frequently get lots of the word joy given to me all the time, too, and I was wondering, well, how does that fit in my life? Well, the things that have happened since then, relationships that were strained, have now, I've gone out seeking to making sure that they are not strained anymore. I've taken the first step in reconciling with differences with family and friends that I've had. A lot of them have been affected by Elizabeth and have changed their course of life to certain people in my life, and now I look back at it and I see, you know, even though Elizabeth passed, joy has come from it. And now I've encouraged me and my kids to choose that joy, even though it's sad, everything that's happened with Elizabeth, that we need to choose joy and be grateful for the things that we did have, even the time we had with her, what God has shown us since then, how he's affected other family members and people we love and changed their life, and to be grateful for that. So I just kind of wanted to share that today, that God can give you can be grateful through any circumstance, for sure.
Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into our separate, so orange is here, red is just in the next room, and green is in the foyer. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for all these words that you've laid on my heart, and you laid on Kyla's heart, and I just pray, Jesus, that we would see the wonderful, amazing things that you have given us in our lives, and it'll give us so much joy to get us through those tough times, and again, to be able to see those wonderful things that you have given us in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.